page Yud Gimel. So it's a Shar Rishon, and it's Os, in other words, the paragraph number is Tesvav, 15. Okay, so as we did yesterday, let's just get back into it a little bit. let's summarize what we discussed yesterday. So yesterday we started the two steps, the first initial steps of tshuva. Number one is charata, remorse.
I'll sit down for a moment if I get
it. We have another standard.
If I get your ass, you can...
Okay, we have to, another standard.
This guy's never going to be happy.
Yes, he will. That's part of Moser too.
I'm here. My body's here.
Okay. That's right. Okay, step number one is charata, remorse. And we talked about two aspects of that. Number one, the person should understand how bitter it is to distance oneself from Hashem. Number two is that there is punishment that should make a person remorseful because, you know, you're going to have to, somewhere down the line, there's consequences for the action that a person did. We also touched on the idea that the Shari Tshuva keeps on using the idea, Yashiv Elibo, that we're not talking about something cerebral, we're talking about taking something into the heart. And again, we're going to discuss that throughout, the connection between, or the disconnect between the mind and the heart, And that's a major issue, so that's why we all, and we talked about charata. Another idea we mentioned in charata about remorse is speaking it out, right? So already we've gone through two of the basic ideas of tshuva, right? Charata, remorse, and vidui. Right? You speak. Why do we confess something? Why do we say all on Yom Kippur? Why do we have all those vidui? But and it's interesting because a person, when you say vidui, you should say it in a way that other people don't hear it. That's the halacha. So what is it for? When you audibleize something, one idea is when you audibleize it, it's for you. It concretizes the idea. Again, the connection between the mind and the heart. Then the second step that we saw yesterday was azivas hachayit, leaving aside the avera, stop it. Just stop doing it. Leaving it aside. And the Shari Tshuva said, that's charata, is the first step, remorse, then not doing it again, stop doing it, is the first step and the second step. But if a person's done an avera more than once, they've done it a few times, so then the steps are reversed or inverted. That is, stop doing it first. Just stop, get off the treadmill. Stop doing it, and then you could feel the remorse afterwards. You just have to get out of the, you know, sometimes I talk to people, even not over averas, it's just, you know, like, sometimes people are so famished, right? You're in the middle of something and you can't even think straight. That's where we are when we're in the middle of a cycle of doing an avera. You just can't think anymore. Stop. And then you can feel the remorse. Okay, and we talked about Dr. Goldman's idea, which bears repeating again. People look at the negative. You have to look at the positive. Okay, I've been doing this avera. I did this avera a number of times. I used to do it once a day, I used to do it twice a day, three times a day, and I do it once a week. That's a tremendous accomplishment.
From Osu yesterday, where it says, Yesh Onesh Venakam Vishulim Avon. So I understand the Onesh, but does it say that Hashem is taking revenge on us?
Right. Well, a Nakama is usually, when we talk about that, usually it's Mida Kenega Mida, measure for measure, kind for kind. Like, you'll see, I mean, I'm not saying you. But a lot of times we could see how Hashem plays out because there's a Mida Kenega Mida. Rabbi Prangler mentioned it on Shabbos about, you know, Roshach and pushing and, you know, like.
So
yeah. Yeah. Oh, excuse me. We are, for today, we're on Os Yud Beis. I'm sorry. Os Yud Beis. I'm very sorry. Ha'ikar Shlishi. So now we're up to step number three. Now, you have to understand, we've already gone through, as I mentioned before, the three basic steps of tshuva. That is charata, remorse, vidui, confession, right? We talked about audibilizing it, and kabbalas al-hasid, understanding that we shouldn't do it again, right? That's what we saw in Aziv HaSachay. Again, we talked about Rabbi Cheskel Sarna's idea, the three steps, those three basic steps line up to 3 days. Yesterday, today, yesterday is the charata, vidui is the today, and Kabbalah is tomorrow, I won't do it tomorrow. Okay, so now we're going past that. We're going to start fine-tuning things, and we're going to see how the further steps that we're going to talk about really bolster the first three initial steps. In other words, we had those three initial steps, Charata, Vidui, and Kabbalah La'asid. We're going to see, so like, what else do you need? Why isn't, this should just be three steps. Why is it 20 steps of tshuva? We'll see, because we're going to make our tshuva stronger. Ha'ikar Shlishi, very interesting third step. So again, we had Charata and we had Azivas Achait. Now we have Hayagon. Yagon, for lack of a better term, is distress, anguish. Person is anguished. So what does that mean? So again, if you look, Yishtonim kil yosav, yakshav, you should be, your insides, as they say in French, your kishkes, right, should be stirred when you think, here it comes again, Kama Rabba Ras Mishahemir Es Yitzro. Yotzor, excuse me. Es Yotzor. How terrible it is, someone who rebelled against, not the king, someone who created you. He created you. I mean, everything we have is from Hashem. Right? Like we know the famous idea that all those brachas we make in the morning. First thing, when we wake up in the morning, so what do we say? That we're not... where we could see, we could hear, we could think. I remember Rabbi Chaitzek Atzagarokov gave a beautiful shmooze once. It stays with me. Almost every morning when I say the bracha, I think about it. So you know that bracha, there's a machlokas. So what's a sakhvi? Sakhvi, some say, is a rooster. Rooster can differentiate between day and night. Others say sakhvi means a person's mind. A person can differentiate. You have the, so Rabbi Chaik gave a beautiful shmuz. And according to the shmuz, really, they're both the same thing. They're both the same thing. And that is that the most elementary knowledge is day and night. Right? What is more elementary than that? A rooster knows that. Roosters don't, I don't care what the modern society tells you, you know, any of the movies. Roosters are not so intelligent. They can just tell the difference between day and night. That's about it. So we thank Hashem. You know what? I know that when it starts getting a little light, I gotta get. It's day. I gotta get going. I have that elementary knowledge. And I retain that. Who says? I know I've mentioned to you this before. Who says when you go to sleep that you should wake up with the same knowledge? You retain it. I've told you. I think I've told the story a number of times. I actually know somebody that this happened to them. One day, under a lot of stress. Boom, perfectly normal, wonderful person, the hard drive was empty. Unbelievable. And, you know, Baruch Hashem, it came back. But who says it has to? So we hear that in theory, but I actually know something that happened. So Hashem gives us this knowledge, and Hashem gives us Baruch Hashem, all this, I tell people, right? I mean, you should appreciate this. Oh, you haven't had one yet. Aroka Aras Almayim, right? What was it? 2 weeks ago, we had those earthquakes. Is it a swarm? Is it a foreshock? Everybody was nervous, right? Remember all those earthquakes? So, right, and people in New York don't appreciate it, but we appreciate it. It's not moving. Hashem gives us all those things. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? We have all these fault lines all over the place, Blian Hor, and you know it's not moving. It's absolutely amazing. So what did you do? You rebelled against the person who showered you with all that. Right? Let's hold off on that. Look at this. These four words always got. Turn the page to page Yud Base. See where it says paragraph Yud Gimel? So go up four lines. Go up from the Yud Gimel four lines. These four words always were very stirring to me. The chesed asaimo, how can you rebel against Hashem? Look at the kindness Hashem did for you. Now listen to these four words. V'yado tenachehu b'chol es. Hashem's hand is on you at every moment. We don't appreciate this, but we have to appreciate it. These four words are very stirring to me. Hopefully sometimes in our lives we get a window into this. But don't you see, we should all appreciate the Hashkachas Hashem. It doesn't just apply to big tzaddikim. All these big tzaddikim, you hear all these spooky stories. Every person has their own spooky story. I don't know what it could be. It could be how you met your spouse. It could be you never find the parking spot and you're in a really big hurry and all of a sudden, boom, there's a parking spot. It could be something very small. But we have to realize, Hashem's hand, Hashem is creating your soul every second. Again, the bracha asher yatzar, but Hashem's hand is on you every moment. We have to think about that. So when we do an avera, Hashem's hand is on me, pushing, directing me in all different directions where I should go, and I say, and Hashem's telling me, okay, go to shul. No, I don't want to. Well, that's very powerful. Now again, for me, even without the fact that I'm pushing against Hashem's hand, the fact that just the awareness that Hashem's hand, like we say, Shvisi Hashem l'negdidah, tell me Hashem is in front of us constantly, that's the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch. But again, in a deeper sense, Hashem's hand is on you all the time. Right? To a greater extent, remember, I don't know how many of you were here back then, but in the first Gulf War, so remember we canceled the entertainment, and so we had Rusim Chawasim and Zeka Salak Baracha speak. He talked about how all the leaders of the world are just puppets. Hashem is the puppeteer. Remember that? So, when Yad Moshe B'Yad Hashem, I mean that when you have a leader, then they're completely given over to Hashem. But we're also given completely, it's just you don't see it as well. But we, each person should appreciate Hashem's hand is on you every moment. Hashem's hand is right on your shoulder, directing you and guiding you. To me, that's very powerful. Now, you couple that with the idea that I rejected that. No. That's now see what it does for the other levels of the foundational levels of tshuva. You have remorse, right? That's the first level. Vidu, you confess, you accept never to do it again. Now, if you think about this, again, what's the fourth step? Here we have it's the third step. Third step is you feel bad. It bothers you. What? I rebel against Hashem. Hashem is directing me and guiding me every single second. I went against that? Wow. So are you going to do that there again? Your remorse is still going to be there. Your vidui is going to be strong. Kabbalah Allah said you're not going to do it tomorrow. You're not going to do it tomorrow. Wow. So powerful, at least to me. Now look what he says in your Gimel. Madregas Chuvas Ma'alasa Lefi Godo Meriras Otsem Hayogam. Yesterday we talked about there's different levels of tshuva. You could do it better, Ramirez. Somebody emailed me today about how they really like the dry cleaning, the cleaning of stain example. So there's different ways we could, different degrees to which we could clean off a stain. So now the Shartu is giving us a beautiful insight. Depending upon this level of distress will be the level of tshuva. See, a lot of us do a tshuva around Rosh Hashanah time, and then we forget about it. And we can, why? Because did you really feel bad about it? Did you really realize how bad it was? Does it really bother you? Now, dependent upon how much it bothers you will be the degree of tshuva. The more it bothers you, the more the lesson of tshuva is going to stick with you. Why? So skip down a few lines. He says the reason is... go down the next line, excuse me. V'hi ha'tshuva she'tovo miderech tohar hanefesh uschus sichla. Depends on the refinement, the purity of the soul. and how clear your seichel is. Ki lefi seichel, kefi asher tipakachna einav, yirbo v'yatzmo mi me'od yagona v'ranosav al rov avonosav. Depending on the purity of your heart and the clarity of your mind will be this distress. You'll be able to understand this idea of Hashem's hands on me and I just went against it. Like my neshama is crying out. My neshama is crying out. How can you do such a thing? How can you do such a thing? So that's all comes from the neshama. All from the purity of the neshama, of the nefesh, the purity of it. And then he says an amazing thing. Based upon this, if you skip down a few more lines, ki hayagon yavo me'es tor ha'neshama al-yona. Because this distress, and the degree of the distress comes from the purity of the soul, the neshama al-yona, right? Our neshama. And depending on how pure it is, that will be the more distressed you are. So you see a lot of kids, like little kids, when they do something wrong, you see that like it really bothers them. Why? So the reason is obvious, because their neshamas are pure, right? Once you get more gunk into it, so then it doesn't come out as well. The frequency doesn't come through. You know, I could give you a mashal. Happened to me last night. This morning it didn't blow so well either. But Monday, first time I blew shofar, it didn't blow. So Howard Witkin told me, amazing thing, I think we also got from Rabbi Eilitz, that the reason why is sometimes there's gunk inside here. And you think about it, you know, like what could be in there? You just blow it. But stuff builds up inside. So you have to get a very long, not a regular Q-tip, but like one with a wooden, you know, hand stick, and they're longer, 6-inch, and put it in there and clean it out. Yesterday, Howard left one at my house. So I put it in there, and stuff was, I had to break, there was stuff inside there. And I had to, a couple times, like, break through and pull it. It was deep, right? That's what happens to our neshama. Our neshama just gets stuffed up. And then it's a lot of things happen. One of the things is, you know, you become callous to the averas that we've done. So we have to try to break through. That's why it's harder to do tshuva a lot of times. Now look what he says based upon this. Now if you go down a little further, ka'yakon yavo me'es torah neshama yona, v'nitzrasas b'zeh yoser ma'asher teratzeh b'rov yisurei ha'gufa ma'palav. Hashem, if you feel distress over an avera you've done, Hashem will accept that. That's more accepted by Hashem more than if you get physically hammered. Why? We all know, you know, Yisurim, travail, is kapara, atones for things that we've done wrong. But this is better. You don't have to trip and scrape your knee. If it bothers you that you did an Aveira, so then that's more accepted by Hashem than Yisurim. Why? It's simple. Because Yisurim, sometimes, you know, you fall and hurt yourself, you get sick, whatever it is, a person has financial issues, so we disconnect it from Hashem. I mean, we shouldn't, but we do disconnect it from Hashem. But let's say a person did an Aveira and they feel bad that they did an Aveira. So that's a total connect with Hashem. I'm suffering. I feel bad. I brought it on myself. I'm feeling I did it. I feel bad because I have an awareness, I have a recognition that I did an Aveira. So that's better than any Yisurim we could ever get. Why? Again, Yisurim, you lose $5. Well, because I was stupid, because I wasn't, you know, I wasn't carrying it right away, so I dropped it. Hashem did that. Well, it's a little hard for us to connect the dots. But if I myself connect the dot and say, you know what? I'm doing well. No, I'm troubled. Why are you troubled? There's nothing wrong. It did an aveira. It bothers me. It really bothers me. So then Hashem wants that, accepts that, more than giving you the Yisurim. Hashem doesn't want to give you the Yisurim. And again, who says the Yisurim will be connected back to Hashem? Here, I'm self-motivated. We saw that with Mitzvah Sharm. Mitzvah Sharm says a similar idea. Mitzvah Sharm says that Hashem doesn't want to bring Yisurim on somebody. A person's self-motivated to grow. Hashem won't bring the person on Yisurim. Hashem doesn't have to bring Yisurim on a person. Hashem doesn't have to bring travail on a person. If you're self-motivated to grow. So it's similar, this is a similar idea that the Shari Tshuva is saying. Hashem wants this more than any Yisurim could bring, a physical Yisurim could bring on you. Why? Because the whole reason for Yisurim is to get a person to move, to grow, to change. Here, I'm changing. I feel bad. I did an Aveira. I feel bad about it, and it's bothering me. Why? Your job's good. Traffic's fine. You have a parking spot. You could, right? You could pay the mortgage. Everything's fine. Yeah, but I did an Aveira. That's very powerful. That's very powerful. Okay? Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. And Emir Tzashem, tomorrow night, we'll take this a little further.